Good morning and welcome to each one who has gathered together this morning to celebrate and to remember the life of our dear brother Leroy Ash, a husband, a father, a grandfather, and a friend to so many. And that's why we are here this morning. You know, on an occasion such as this, there's many range of emotions that flow through us. There's grief, there's sorrow, there's joy because of Leroy's homecoming. This week, the last 3 or 4 days, there's a verse that kept going through my mind, and I like to share it at this time. It's from the book of Ecclesiastes, where it says, "It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart." You know, when you look at that verse, it's a little hard to figure out. Well, why would anyone say it's better to go to the house of mourning? But if you follow that verse through, that's because each of us, someday, unless the Lord comes back before, we'll be in a situation where we too will have lived our last and we will have a service something like this with our friends and family there to grieve for us. And because it is wise for us to consider the brevity of life, that life in its longest is short. Little did any of us know 2 months ago that we'd be gathering together this morning for Brother Leroy's funeral. Neither do we the next prayer. I talked or word was prayer today. I thank you we could gather in a way like this and remember our Brother Leroy. Father, as we say goodbye to him, we also reflect on the good memories we've had with Leroy. So, Father, I pray that your presence would be with us this morning. May everything said and done be glorified and honored to you. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This time we'll look to Sam Kaufman, a friend and neighbor of Leroy's, to lead us in 2 congregational songs. So, Sam.
Good morning and greetings to each one. Leroy had requested that we sing 4 songs at his funeral. We'll sing 2 of those at this time and then 2 later. 977. Take your hymn books, please. Turn to 977.
Let
3. Back a few pages, 993.
Gathered together with heavy hearts. Hearts that are sorrowful because of our loss. The death of our dear brother, Leroy, a friend to so many. To Verna, a husband of 47 plus years. To Wayne and Crystal, a father. And to the grandchildren, a grandfather, and even a great-grandfather, and to some of you here this morning, a brother. And to all of us, a friend. When God created mankind, he created us with the ability to love, and to love deeply. And because we had that ability to love deeply, we also hurt and sorrow when someone we love, such as Leroy, leaves us. And although we don't understand God's ways, we do know that we can trust his providence and his timing, that his ways are higher than our ways. To Verna and the family, he knows your heart of grief. He knows what you will feel the next week and weeks and months. Because our Lord also suffered the loss of someone that was very close to him. I had to think of when Jesus' good friend, Lazarus, passed away. And when Jesus came back to Bethany, the home of Lazarus and Mary and Martha, Jesus was met by Martha and then later Mary, and they told him, "Lord, if you would have been here, our brother would not have died." And then Jesus said in John 11, When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Two words. Jesus wept. Jesus was moved with compassion. There was sorrow in Jesus' heart. And because he can experience that, and he has experienced that, he knows what Jesus are feeling this morning. In Isaiah 41, the inside verse of the in memory card, it says, Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Just think. Jesus, not only our Savior, but our friend, wants to take us by the hand when we are hurting, when we feel we can't go on, and he wants to be there with us to help us through our loss. And although we mourn for our loss because we won't have Leroy to talk to appreciate, to love, we mourn for ourselves, but yet we joy for Leroy's gain. Think of what Leroy is trading. He's trading an earth full of sorrow for a heaven full of joy. A physical body for a heavenly body. Now get this. Blinded eyes for eyes that can see. I just had to think about that. What did Leroy see when he passed from this life to heaven? No longer did he need someone to describe what he was seeing, because he could see. That's a beautiful thought. And he's trading a world of sin for a place that has no sin. In Psalm 116, verse 15, it says, Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, one of the reasons I believe that it is precious to the Lord when one of his children dies is because God now gets to reward that child of his for a life of faithfulness, for a life and a commitment of putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. A reward for being faithful. Revelations 14, 13 says, And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. A reward for a life of obedience. All but if we all could hear that saying, Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 23 if you have them along. If not, you can follow along. It's a very familiar psalm. Psalm 23, I like to read it at this time. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This psalm is one that brings comfort to so many. In a time of loss, a time of uncertainty, it's a reminder of God's goodness and care for us. Psalm 23 gives the image of a Lord as our shepherd, and the believer as the sheep. And then later on in Psalm 23, it talks about the Lord as a host and the believer as the guest. We could say a lot of things about Psalm 23, but I just want to focus on three sayings. The first one is found in verse 1 where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That word "want" means lack. Doesn't mean that he's going to supply all our wants, but it's going to supply everything that we need in life. Whether we're going through a time of grief, whether we're going through a time of uncertainty, I am sure that God will supply all our needs. The second phrase I want to look at is found in verse 4 where it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." I will fear no evil. Because God is our shepherd, our shepherd is there to protect us. When you think about the shepherd-sheep concept, the shepherd is out to keep his sheep from danger. And when the sheep have confidence in their shepherd, they don't fear. And we don't need to fear what happens in life. When Leroy was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer, he did not fear because he knew that God was going to take care of him. And then in the last verse where it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You know, for believers, we know that this is not the end. That we too can be in eternity with God the Father, Jesus our Savior, and we can be with fellow believers like I believe Leroy is experiencing now. To the family, Dad's passing will bring changes, but I'm confident you're not going to lack. God's going to supply what you need. Dad's passing is going to bring things that are different. And sometimes when we don't know the things in the future, we can tend to fear. But God is going to be there for us and for you when you walk through this road before you. And also, someday, we can have this confidence that we can see our husband, our dad, our grandfather in heaven again. Oh, joy, what a thought. And we're going to sing some more songs about heaven this morning. A song and song.
And that summary, Cindy, without books or music, how beautiful heaven must be. Before we sing that, however, I would like to make a few comments about Leroy. I asked Verna and Wayne if I could do that, and I'm sure Leroy won't mind. As Brother Landis mentioned, Leroy and I go back many years. We grew up neighbors over 70 years. He's a couple years younger. I'm a couple years older than he, I'm sorry. We grew up together lived together in the area over 70 years. I remember as a young boy driving through their lane, through Teddy's lane, to go to farm some land on the other side of their farm. And we used their lane many times. And they, in turn, would also use our lane through the Kaufman orchards. I also remember when he came to church here a few times back in the 90s, Verna and Leroy. Leroy enjoyed singing, we all know that. And he, at that time in the 90s, every other Sunday we would have a time of singing, like 15 minutes of congregational singing. We still do that today. But at that time, he and Verna would come occasionally on a Sunday, and on that particular Sunday to join in our singing. And of course, the young children, and not only the children, but the adults were also fascinated by the dog that came in the middle aisle. And the dog, it was not just a little dog either, a big dog, lay under the bench and was very quiet all through the service. Remember that. And then later in life, not later, I'm sorry, but in the recent years, I enjoyed visiting him at the shoe store on Laycock Road, Old Laycock Road. I stopped in many times and would visit with him. And you know how it was? As soon as you walked in the door and you said a few words, Leroy recognized you, could say your name. Amazing, wasn't it? So I would stop in and visit with him and had a good time. Always enjoyed visiting with Leroy. Then about 2 weeks ago, he called me on the phone and he said, "Sam, I want you to lead the singing at my funeral." And I didn't realize that he wasn't doing quite well. I said, "Yes, I would be happy, honored to lead some singing, the songs at your funeral." So I stopped in there a few days later and we visited. And I could visit well with him, only to learn about 3 days later that he passed on. How beautiful heaven must be. Waters of life there are flowing, and all who will drink may be free. Rare jewels of splendor are glowing. How beautiful heaven must be. The angels are singing.
The angels are sweet, they are singing.
Song later.
We are gathered together this morning in the presence of an almighty God. He's not only almighty, he's a loving God, he's our heavenly Father. we love him. And we're so grateful that because of his mercy and grace, we can be in an intimate love relationship with him and his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This meeting this morning, this service this morning was planned a long time ago. Like we say, God is never taken by surprise. He knows the little details of all our life. Does he not? There's nothing that we can hide from God. And the fact that our sins can be washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb, we relish the idea that God knows everything about us. That brings peace, that brings joy, that brings confidence. And I just want to assume that every one of us here this morning knows what it's like to be in this beautiful, dynamic love relationship with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verna, my wife and I, Janet, would like to extend our deepest sympathies for you and the family. I don't know the children real well and the grandchildren. We met some of them when we were visiting Leroy and Verna. That was Sunday a week ago, right? This past Sunday a week ago, we decided we would like to stop in, and so we came up over the Welsh Mountain, looked out over the beautiful country here near Intercourse, and came over to Leroy's, had a nice little visit there with them. And Leroy was just a bit mixed up. He thought he has to make a phone call, and he got the controller to his chair, and he was trying to, you know, make a phone call using the the push buttons on the controller. And you know, we just didn't know how long he's going to be with us. But I guess he, in one sense, still is with us, because the presence of God is with us, right? Do you feel the presence of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ here this morning? When a saint dies, there is more than just grief. It's a phenomenal miracle, because God is a miracle. His very existence, if you think of it theologically, is miraculous. There's really nothing about God that is handmade or homemade or earth-made. So our God is a God. His very essence, his very nature is one that is miraculous. And so we are hid in Christ, in God the Father. And so we are already spiritually with God, in God. And that's where Brother Leroy is, in a whole different sense. But the fact that we are with God, in God, as is Brother Leroy, there's just sort of it just feels like I can just sort of sense that presence. And so we greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not proper to say, I'm glad to be here this morning. We're not glad to be at any funeral, but I feel very, very honored and unworthy to be the speaker here this morning. But I want to preach the everlasting gospel. Brother Leroy told Landis that what he would like to have preached here this morning is on the subject of salvation and eternity. So I don't know what comes to your mind this morning when you think of salvation. We should all be thinking about the same thing, because there is only one God, right? There is only one Holy Spirit. There is only one Word. And so there are not different types of salvations for different people groups around the world or throughout all the ages of history. You know, salvation never needs to change. It can't get better than what it is. Because if you ever thought of it theologically, everything that God does, says, or thinks is only equal to his nature. And we know that God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, they all exist together as one. And I can't explain that, but they exist together as one in the highest state of perfection. So God, being a holy, loving, kind, perfect God, whatever he says and thinks and does is only equal to his nature. And so that's why we have in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is our hope. This is the believer's hope. This is the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a hope. We do not need to spend eternity in a godless place with Satan. He loved us. He cares about every one of us. And so I think Brother Leroy, he wants us in the family, he wants us to preach salvation and eternity. That's what we want to do here this morning. We want to look at a few scriptures, but before I forget, I just want to say that I realize here this morning, in a setting like this, we come from different backgrounds of Christianity, you know, different churches and so on, and I want to make it very, very clear that I'm not pointing out or preaching to any certain church group or person that's here this morning. And when I give challenges about holiness, and when I'm trying to depict as much as I can the beauty and the love of God for us, I'm going to be preaching to myself. You all can sit in and listen, so get it good. I just want to preach the everlasting gospel. But I do want to say that if you're here this morning and you did not make your calling and election sure, that's the first scripture I want to go to. Don't leave. Don't leave the building. Don't go out on the road. Life is short. Life is sincere. It's also joyous. But life is very in danger. The roads are dangerous. We live in dangerous times. And if you're here this morning, you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, get sure. If you're not sure, get sure. We have a hope. God is on his throne. Nothing will move him off. And if you're not saved, do that. Do that today. And I'm speaking to myself. I would like to begin by looking at a very, very beautiful and important verses found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 already alluded to where I want to go here, but I want to just reflect real quickly here on verse 2 and 3, where it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ." Grace and peace. This is what the world is looking for today, right? People today who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ are going to extremes. They go to drugs and sports and all kinds of other perversions in order to find fulfillment in life, but they can't find it in the world, can they? It's found in Jesus Christ by having a dynamic, loving relationship with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, grace and peace. And that's what I want to extend here this morning to the family and the church family, every one of you friends. The grace and peace of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to his glory and virtue. This morning, God is calling. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is calling us. So I don't know where you are in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but if you're like me, you're not satisfied with it, are you? Are you satisfied with where you are in your Christian walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not. I need to grow. I'm a person that I need to grow. Sometimes I think thoughts and do things or whatever. I just think, now, you know, why did I do that? So, you know, we all need to grow. We are called to his glory and to his virtue. And I would that every one of us here this morning would examine our own hearts to make sure that according to his divine power that he gave us, he gave everything that we need in order to find peace. Everything that pertains unto life and godliness. Well, what more can God give us? Is it salvation? Is God's plan of salvation this morning? Is it full? Is it complete? Is it free? Is something better? Is something new going to come down the pike? Is God going to add something to the plan of salvation that's going to make it better or make an improvement? I mean, God cascaded, opened up the doors and the gates of heaven, and he showered down upon us everything that we need that pertains to life and to godliness and to holiness and to the abundant life and to eternal life. Do I grasp that? Do I make use? Do I utilize the great dynamic power and love of the Lord Jesus Christ to be a holy person. You know, I'm not satisfied where I am in my Christian life. So then we go down to verse 10, and he says, therefore, that means because of this, brothers, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fail. Because of this, an entrance shall be ministered, shall be given unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the theme that I think Brother Leroy would want us to preach about here this morning is the importance of making our calling and our election in Jesus Christ. What's the next word? Sure. Okay. So that this is God's word. I'm preaching the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is not something that we should postpone. This is not something. Our salvation is extremely serious because of Brother Leroy's second word, the word of eternity. Somebody here this morning, I believe that I'm speaking to a group of intellectuals. And so maybe somebody here this morning can tell us or define how long eternity is going to be. Who can tell us? Don't say so many billions and trillions of centuries, because in eternity there's no time. That means we can't measure eternity. When you get there, there's no getting out. There's no getting out. This is why we need to reach out as sinful human beings into the realm of the divine supernatural, or crawl up Golgotha on hands and knees, pleading and begging, embracing the cross, begging for the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to wash us and make us clean and regenerate us and make us the sons of God. It's serious. We say the Christian life is serious, but the Christian life is also very, very joyous. You know, people want to have fun today. Does it sound funny to some of you people if I would say living the Christian life is actually fun? Does that sound funny to you? Well, I guess then you have to laugh a little bit, because, you know, it's pleasant. The Christian life is joyous. The Christian life has its hardships, because Satan wants to destroy us. But it's the most beautiful life. We have joy. We have peace. It just doesn't really matter. We can be blind like Brother Leroy, and he comes through life successfully. And so we just had to be diligent. I don't know what you think of when you think of the word diligent. Be diligent. What do you do when you're diligent? Maybe you're waiting for something to happen. And you're looking and you're waiting and you're not falling asleep, or you put forth all your effort. And the Bible says, this is what God is telling us, that we need to be diligent to make our calling and our election, our response to the calling of God the Father, sure, absolute. In other words, go to extremes. Pursue God in such a way that if you fail to contact Him and consume Him, you will be lost forever. Because that's how it is. Pursue. It's important. It's our eternity. Let me say it this way. And I don't mean this to be a trick question. Does God send anybody to heaven? Does God just send people to hell? So God the Father, on the day of judgment, He looks down over the multitudes of people, all nations and languages, and He says, you go to heaven, you go to hell. Okay, heaven, hell. Does God send people to heaven, just blandly send people to heaven? Does God just send people to hell only according to His volition? Just by His choice? What do you think? Who decides for you? Who decides for me where I'm going to spend eternity? That's you. God does not decide for you. God does not decide for me. And I don't decide for you, and you don't decide for me. Every warm body that's here this morning, let it be known. This is the message of the everlasting gospel. God made us creatures of choice, and God the Father has gone to extremes, wouldn't you say? He has gone to extremes in order to perpetuate, in order to develop a plan to save us from our own filth and sin and alienation and belligerency. God went to extremes. We just quoted John 3:16, for God who here believes extreme in order for us, how would you discover? So if God went to such extremes, he would have the right to say, I want you to go to the same extremes as I did to accept salvation, as I did to provide it. God went to extremes in order to provide salvation. And if we want to get to heaven, I got to go to the same extreme. I got to die with Christ. I need to be buried with Christ. So God does not send people to heaven. God does not merely send people to hell. All he does is at the end of life, listen, all God does is at the end of life, he provides the vehicle for us to get into the eternity that we chose when we were yet living. He does not send people to heaven or hell. He provides the vehicle. He's going to get us to the master that we're serving right now. So let me ask ourselves, me right here, who am I serving? Have I washed my robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb? Have I really? Or is this just something the preacher preaches? Is this something we memorized in Sunday school or great-grandpa talked about this? How about me? Is it reality? Making our calling and election sure. How do we get there? How do we make our calling and election sure? What if you would be the preacher? I'm a retired preacher. I'm a little bit like Brother Leon sitting there. Him and I are retired, and we're tired too, both, aren't we? How would you say we should make our calling and election sure? Let me ask you a question this morning, because I believe that I'm preaching to a group of Bible believers. I believe most of you are saved. So, you know, when we get saved, we got to do the next most difficult thing in life, and that is to keep saved. There's nothing more beautiful. There's nothing more important. There's nothing more difficult in life than to get saved. But when we are saved, we have to keep saved. And I think sometimes that is even theologically more difficult than getting saved. So when we look at what Jesus said, how to get saved, I had to think of John chapter 3, where there was a man who was a ruler of the Jews. His name was, go ahead. He came to Jesus by night. And he said, oh, good master, oh, you're a good God. Yep, good. Yeah, you know what? You couldn't do all these miracles if you wouldn't be God. Jesus totally ignored that. And you know what he said to Nicodemus? Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, he says, listen up, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. I did not write those words. I didn't write the Bible. And so if you're here this morning, and you do not know Jesus Christ, and maybe you never planned to know him, and I wouldn't hope there's a warm body here like that this morning, I just want you to know that I didn't write it, but I do preach it, because Jesus said, God is saying here through Jesus to Nicodemus, that if you want to get into the kingdom of heaven, you're going to have to be born again. Now, maybe you don't like that term. We better like it. It's how we get saved. Nicodemus said, what do you mean? Enter the second time into the womb of my mother? Jesus said, come on, Nicodemus, get a grip. You're on the Sanhedrin. That's a 70-member ruling body of the Jews, right? You boys know that, eh? Yeah? Jesus said, you're a ruler, you're part of the Sanhedrin, the governing body of the Jewish religion, and you're talking about entering into your mother the second time. Come on, get a grip. You got to be born of water and of the Spirit. So is he talking about baptism there? I think he's talking about regeneration. We need to become new people in Christ Jesus. 163 times in the Word of God, in the Pauline epistles, he talks about the importance of being in Christ Jesus. 163 times, if you like bibliology. In Christ Jesus this morning. Are you, am I in Christ Jesus through regeneration, becoming a new creature in Christ Jesus? We need to be new people. We're born sinful. Sorry about that. We're born a sinner, and we're going to remain a sinner until we accept God's beautiful plan of salvation. Who didn't understand that this morning? You know, if there'd be a 7-year-old child here this morning, they would understand that. I see some little children sitting here in the audience. They understand that. You must be born again. I think Leroy would. Different times over the years as a pastor, when I preached funeral, I almost said wedding. It is sort of like a wedding, too. Do you know that? We celebrate, and Pastor Landis already said that. We grieve and celebrate at the same time. But what I like to do is I like to get the person's Bible and preach out of their Bible to see what they have marked in and underlined. And I know with Leroy's situation, it's probably different. But I just bet Leroy would want me to just spend a minute or two back here in Titus. Titus says some very, very beautiful things. Chapter 2, listen to these words. Someone said that in Titus chapter 2, tucked away in the middle of the chapter, we had the plan of salvation in a nutshell. And so I think Brother Leroy would want me to read this. And Titus is saying, God is saying here, for the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men. The grace of God. Isn't that beautiful? God is a loving, kind, merciful God. He's waiting on us. He's calling us. He wants to save us. For the grace of God that brings salvation appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God. And you quest was we're honored. And in the very back there, after he was, you see, Jordan River preached. And so then we, and after the day of Pentecost, Peter, big, burly, muscular, belligerent Peter, gets up and Peter gets converted. Like Jesus said, Peter, you got to get converted after the. After the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you're going to become a new man. You're going to be a new Peter. And after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit got a hold of Peter, there was a great crowd of Jews and people from all over different nations gathered together. And Peter, intoxicated on the power of the Holy Spirit, began to preach the everlasting gospel to all kinds of people. And his first word was what? Repent. So why in the world should a little ignorant farmer boy like me preach anything else? Repent. And you know, over the years, I've been in a lot of churches and I've made a few deductions. And one deduction I made is that in our preaching anymore, too many of us preachers, we don't like to preach the word repentance because it insinuates that we're sinners. It insinuates that we need help. It insinuates that we're lost and we're pathetic and alienated and separated from all the holiness of God. And we are. Outside of Jesus Christ, we're lost. You know, either we're in or we're out. There's nothing like half Christian. God doesn't have great-grandchildren. God doesn't have grandchildren. We're in the fold right of it. We're going to heaven or we're going to hell. There's no middle of the road. And so we need God's help. And yet God provides forgiveness and God provides justification and sanctification. Preach about all that stuff. But you know, our The thing that we need to do is repent and confess. We get away from that kind of preaching. We get away from old-fashioned revival preaching where people need to be told according to the Word of God. We need to repent and confess our sin. And then we get way back there to 1 John. I got to stop here soon, mustn't I? We get back to 1 John, and he says that when we repent, when we confess our sins, God is, go ahead, say the word. He is faithful and just. To what? To forgive our sins and cleanse us from most of our unrighteousness. No, don't let me say something like that. How do you like that for a loving God? So if you're here this morning and you're a sinner, friend, and you're propping belligerently like a pig trying to be loaded up a chute, and you think, hey, I'm never going to come to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and maybe you think that God's some big cosmos power up there in heaven watching every little mistake I made, holding a billet called ready to strike me down. That's not God. He's a loving God. He's a patient God. That's why you're here this morning. That's why you're here this morning. He's waiting. He's longing. Sure, God is a God of judgment, and God hates sin and will punish the sinner. But we're not there yet. The last chapter of your life is not yet written, or you'd be in the casket beside Brother Leroy. You're here this morning. He's calling. He's a loving God. We need to, he cleanses us from all iniquity. Oh, verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. If the Son shall make you, go ahead, free, you shall be free indeed. We don't have to lollygag. We don't have to sit there in the pew and question God. Is the Bible true? Is God authentic? Did he really mean what he says? If you ever preach or teach Sunday school, never say, here's what God is trying to say. God never tries to do nothing. He doesn't have to engineer. He doesn't have to concentrate. I mean, whatever God wants to do, he goes and does it. And he even knows the results before he began to do it. Now, I don't know if you caught that or not, but I don't have time to repeat it. So when God says that when the Son makes you free, you are free indeed, absolutely free from the curse of sin, from belligerently and rebellion and judgment and condemnation and guilt, free. This is an act of God. You say, preacher, that sounds too good. No, it's not too good. It's the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think this is what Leroy wanted us to preach here this morning. Can I go to one more verse real quick? Leroy also talked about eternity back here in Revelation. Did you ever study the book of Revelation? So I know it gets a little tricky. But here, John the Revelator, that was Pastor John, now Patmos had a vision, and he had a beautiful, he had a series of visions of what it's going to be like up in heaven. And he says this, and after these things, I heard a great voice of many people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. Okay. Short circuit down to five, and a voice came out of the throne. And a voice came out of the throne of God, saying, praise our God, all you his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. You that fear him. Do you have the fear and the love of God in your heart this morning? If you don't, you want to go get it. And that's right up to heaven. That's on Golgotha. That's on Calvary. If you're here this morning, you're not experiencing what the Bible says we're preaching about. Do not walk out the doors. Don't exit this auditorium. Go to the cross. Do whatever you got to do. As often as you got to do it in order to crawl up Golgotha and save your soul. By the blood of Jesus Christ, do it. Don't leave. Because here in heaven, It says, and I heard a voice, as it were the voice of a great multitude of people, and the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, because Jesus Christ is King of kings, and, say it with me, Lord of lords, hallelujah. Let us be glad and rejoice. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. I gotta quit. I'm not finished. So, you know, I'm not speaking to any certain group of people. We come from different walks and backgrounds, and that's a little bit what heaven's going to be like. People from all languages, nations, and tongues, and ages. But they're all going to have their robes washed white in the blood of the Lamb. But I just want to ask you, are you a bride? Are you part of this brideship? The bride hath made herself ready. Brother Landis, I think it was, said, and I agree, that everything I knew about Leroy, he made himself ready, and he kept himself ready this morning. Can you say, as you sit there, as I stand here and stare God in the eyes, Lord Jesus, I'm ready, even so come. May God bless you.
Turn in our handbooks to number 986. 986. Leroy also requested this song to be sung here today. I also enjoy singing it. It's a wonderful hymn. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sam, for leading us in our singing this morning. Thank you, Brother Stanley, for sharing the message. Brother Stanley shared a clear message of what it means to be ready. And I can say amen to what we've heard. I'd like to read the obituary at this time. Leroy B.S., 72, of Runks, passed away Friday, August 16th, 2024, at home. Born in Lancaster, he was the son of the late Jacob S. and Susie F. Byler Esch. He was the husband of Verna M. Sensnick Esch. In addition to his loving wife, he is survived by children, Wayne A. and Stella S. Martin Esch, Crystal Lynn, married to Stephen Zimmerman, 8 grandchildren, Carlos, married to Catherine Esch, Walter Esch, Waylon, and Maria, Jacob Esch, Daisy Esch, Carson Esch, Leroy Esch, and Kaylee Zimmerman, 3 great-grandchildren. Siblings, Daniel Esch, Earl Esch, and Christian Esch, and a sister, Annie Esch. Leroy enjoyed listening to bluegrass music and fishing. He loved spending time with his grandchildren and getting to meet people. Leroy was the former owner of Leacock Shoe Store and also of Leroy B. Esch Hardware. Before we dismiss, I have a couple announcements to make. For those of you that would like to go to the cemetery and need a ride, congregate at the back in the foyer. And so, Neil, and then let's just close this. So, Father, I thank you. Cleared us in our helpless condition. I pray, Father, that you would be with the remainder of our time at the cemetery. Father, just be with us, guide us, and direct us. We thank you and praise you again for the life of Brother Leroy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.